Well, good afternoon, Terra Nova. Welcome. I want to say something up front that is going to seem so obvious that it could be easily dismissed, but I want to make sure that doesn't happen. What I want to say is it's all about God. Let that one spread a little bit in your mind. It's all about God. Every part of it. So many times we can look and say, I want to make life about God now, but my past, that's different. God wasn't maybe in my life, or I wasn't walking with him like I should have been then, and so I have all this regret and shame, and that can't be about him. Or maybe we feel like, I actually earned really good stuff, so I have all this pride that exists in my past, and that's not really about him. It's all about God. Sometimes we look at our future, and we're more concerned with our ambitions. This is where I need to be. This is what I need to get. Or we're more filled with our own anxieties. What if that bad thing happens again? What if something I don't expect comes to pass? And then here we stand in this one moment. And if we end up just caught between our pride and regret or our ambitions and our anxiety, we won't find God in that moment because we don't have the focus and context to understand. It's all about him. It's always been about him. Psalm 139, verse 5 and 6 says this. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Here's what the psalmist realizes. That God's hemming in his presence is all over his past. There's not a piece of it that was hidden. There's not this part that he has to hide now. God's presence was always there. When he looks back and begins to try to understand and filter and figure out, what did all this mean? How should I respond to this? God's presence is there. He's hemmed him in behind. He says, you've hemmed me in before. The places I haven't been yet, the things that maybe I'm actually sick, concerned over how they will work out for me or maybe some other people. You've hemmed me in before. But you're not just this God who died for me a long time ago and has a plan for me somewhere in the future. You lay your hand upon my head. In the midst of all that, he takes this particularly intimate imagery. You're touching me like a father would a child. Your hand is right on my head in the moment. You hem me in behind. You hem me in before, and your hand is on me. And then he pauses to realize, I can say this really easily, but it's actually too wonderful for me to really think about. It's high. I can't attain to it. That's why I said I'm going to say something really obvious that actually requires more thought. It's all about God. And that thought is really too high for us. We don't always grasp that. We can say it easily. But to continually make the effort to push into that, though knowing it's too wonderful. I can't get there. I don't see it in my life. My own pain and fears, my own anxiety, they crowd out the presence of this truth that it's really all about God. I want us to set that in our minds before we go where we need to go today, because today's going to be a little different. Normally, when I'm speaking up front, I'll usually say something to the effect of, here's the roadmap for today, here's where we're going to go. Because the best advice I ever got on speaking, an older guy gave me and said, look, it's advice that's been around. Tell people where you're going to go, what you're going to say. Say it, and then tell them what you just said. It's the same advice that I try to give young guys today. It's the simplest way to make public speaking actually effective. Today, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to talk about where we've been first. Talk about the things that God has done to this group of people called Terra Nova Church. And then we're going to talk about where we see him going. If you're part of this community on a regular basis, you know that this is a little bit unusual. Typical on most Sundays, we'll open a passage of Scripture, and we'll be going through a book of the Bible, and we'll just follow through. And we'll make sure we're consistent in doing that so we can have a really balanced view of Scripture and everything that God is saying. Occasionally, we'll have series on Advent or the series we had on marriage, but for the most part, that's what we do. This sermon will be, this time, will be really good for you because it's going to give you a sense of what God's been doing in our life, maybe a view that you haven't had. Maybe you've seen yourself a little too much as an individual at Terra Nova. This will help us see the fabric of community a little better here. you're a visitor, I actually think this will probably be a good sermon for you to hear, because you'll get to hear more about the church than just necessarily the one passage. Come another time, you'll get that. I always tell my kids, are old enough now where, you know, they're leaving the house and going places. I tell them, visit a church 4 or 5 times before you make a decision, because you can go in on any given Sunday and it might be a little bit weird. Tara, it could be any of the given Sundays. But if you go 4 or 5 times, you're probably going to get a good sense of it. But for us, it's going to be critical to talk about the past and what God has done and to see where God is leading us. If we're ever going to live in the tension of him hemming us before and behind and having his hand on us as a church, to be able to live in that moment together. You got handed a card when you came in, and there's a link on the bottom. You can't click on it. It's not a tablet or anything. But if you go to that, you'll find the annual report. And that can be one of those things that, like, I hear that, and I'm the kind of person who's much more wired in expression, creativity, vision, and I hear annual report, and I start to get a little bit dizzy. It feels like when my mother would take me to, like, a fabric store, and I just started to feel a little bit like I'm going to pass out any minute, and there's going to be tables and numbers. It's not just that at all. We've been very careful to make sure that there's narrative in there of what God has done. There's the story of the gospel in there in a way that is expressive of this community. There's pictures in there. So even if you don't like the words or the numbers, there's really nice graphics for you to look at, and you can say that you went to the link, and I'll be fine with that. But I think we've tried to represent well for right and left brain people, for different people in this community, how to engage in the annual report. The annual report is our way of regularly pausing to be able to reflect on what God has done in this community and to celebrate that, to give thanks. He's been steadfast in his provisions, and we want to reinforce all the things that are core to who we are at Terra, the things that we believe are the most important. And we share these things to help encourage us, to remind us where he's brought us and how he will lead us. Our hope is that this report will be useful in encouraging us and honoring of what God's enduring grace has done for us. So let's pray, and we'll get right into talking about what God has done and where we think he's leading. Father in heaven, we stand in this moment and we acknowledge what your word has said. Your hand is upon us. You've hemmed in our past. God, we confess many times our past becomes more about us than about you, and all we see is absence. Father, I just pray now you'd be able to help us see individually and as a church, you've hemmed in the past. It's not a mistake. You weren't absent. God, you hem in our future. We will be surprised as we step freshly into each new moment, as we breathe in air in a place we've never been, but you won't be surprised by any of it. You've hemmed in our future. And I pray individually and as a church that you would quell anxiety within us, that you would humble ambition within us, and help us, God, to be followers in these steps that you know that we don't, that you would be leading us and we would respond. Father, we trust you, and we ask these things in the name of the Son and in the power and constant presence of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, to talk about what's gone on here, particularly in the last year at Terra Nova Church, to focus on those things and how we're able to sort them out, I want to throw out 3 words that I think can characterize the story of what we're doing, how God is working through us. Growth, prayer, and maturation. There's no question that there's been growth. For those who've been here a long time, you may even remember when we met in another church's old sanctuary in the evening, and there would be 30, 40 people. And maybe that was like the good, busy, hectic night when there were 30 or 40 people. Other times, you reminded yourself, Jesus had 12, we have 11, we're almost there. So that's pretty good too. We've grown to a place where, you know, now we have 2 services. We average over 300 on most any given Sunday. And we've grown with people who are really just like you. I hear the stories in the nucleus class, at the membership class. I always will ask, how did you get here? For some people, the real common story is, I left church and took Jesus with me a long time ago, and I thought I would never be back to church. Churches I was at, I saw how messed up they were. I was able to sit and criticize them easily. I didn't want anything to do with that. I came into Terra Nova, and at least you guys were honest about how messed up you were. And I felt like I might be able to do this here with these people. For a lot of you, that's your story. I've heard it again and again. For some people, it's a story of, this is the first church experience that I've had. I hear that in the membership class on a regular basis. I never really considered it much. And then I started to talk to people who went to this place called Terra Nova Church. Or I read this article about this church that met in a nightclub, and it made me curious. Or I'd always sort of wondered, but I'd never met Christians who seemed to do anything except want to make me their pet project rather than just talk to me honestly. And I ended up here, and I began to hear things that resonated and sounded true. And now I actually have a home in this place, and I have this relationship with God that I'm utterly finding redefines my life. I hear that story. The other common one I hear is, I moved to the area and I'm looking for a church, which is good. You're going to move a lot in this society. One of the things that I encourage you to do, and the same thing I encourage my family to do when they move around to different places, find a church. Go to that place, get plugged in, because that's going to be the centerpiece of all the rest of the stuff that you have. Find that place. And there are people who will say to me on a regular basis, We ended up here because we were looking around and we're just looking to plug into something new. The other thing I would say with that is, when you plug into the new church, be engaged. It's not just that you found something so that you have somewhere to go on Sunday and you can hear a sermon that was challenging or music that you liked. It becomes a church when it becomes a collective of all you guys. We've grown now to the point where the two services are going to shift. In the first week of February, there's going to be a 9 and 11 instead of the usual 10 and noon. But it's not just a time change. What's changing is the kids' programs is the primary thing. Right now at the noon service, no kids' programs. Right? So this is largely the time where there's not a ton of kids who are at this, and the people who are here for whatever point in their life don't really have that as their primary drive. That's going to shift because we've had so many children. In the last year, if you're going to mark something about Terra Nova, there are a whole lot of babies born. There are 20-some kids. You guys keep having kids, which is great. I mean, I'm glad your marriages are going well. If you went down three doors down to where the kids' space is, and I'd encourage you to go down there sometime just to see what the kids' programs look like, even if you don't have kids at this point in your life, they're really well run. But the reality is, it's just maxed out space-wise. There will be Sundays where there'll be 75 kids down there. And there are times where, you know, the number of kids we have are more than the number of people we had, like, the first year of Terra Nova. It's just that much. And kids have needs. They need people consistently to be teaching and looking after them. And we've done that really well. But the challenge is, now that we're going to two services with kids programs, it's been thrown out a bunch of times by Pastor Philip here in announcements, we have to be involved. This is our church's future. And I really am encouraged by you guys because you've stepped up and volunteered to the point where we've almost staffed entirely two complete kids programs. There's needs for about four or five more people to be involved. So if it's something that you've been considering, we're this close to just having that completely finished off. But man, that's an incredible part of growth, not just numbers, but maturation. We're now at a place where we're starting to care for that next generation of people because we're not just that young church that people are going to because it's new and different. We're that church that's actually beginning to see its future born before them. We've also had growth and challenges and maturation with finances. Usually I'm really uncomfortable talking about money. I hate it. I hate asking people for money. I've planted two churches. I actually have had to do this a whole bunch. I don't care for it. It doesn't sit well with me. But one thing that makes it really easy at Terra is I'm really confident that every dollar we've ever had as a community and spent, there's nothing to be ashamed of in any dollar that we've ever spent here. We've been really careful. I can praise God and thank God that we're at a place where we're actually truly self-supporting and sustaining right now. Maybe you didn't know this, but for a number of years, we were like the kids who were living in their own apartment, but mom and dad paid the rent still. We were getting support from multiple churches and organizations for the first 3 years of our existence, and then we had a little bit of struggle figuring it out, and now we're at a place where it's actually self-sustaining. Here's what I do know about giving. This is what we ask at Terra. We don't ask people to give, you know, this X percent. We don't keep track. I actually have heard of a church where when people come up to give the offering, they're supposed to bring their pay stub. So some guy's up there like checking. Like I saw a jaw drop right now. That was my experience of that too. But the guy would check and be like, you're checking your pay stub. Looks like you're pretty cheap. And you were kind of checked up on. Here's what we ask about giving. Give regularly. The Bible talks about when the believers gather together, they set aside a portion of the money for that community and also to give beyond. It's just something you regularly do. It shouldn't be accidental that once in a while you think, oh yeah, I haven't given in a while. I think I'll do that. It should be a regular rhythm of your life that you're giving. Give sacrificially. We all want all the stuff for ourselves on some level, right? When people ask you what character in Lord of the Rings you most identify with, your answer should always be Gollum, because you recognize some part of you wants it all. And your money's no different. You get the money, you think, I could spend it on this. I've been waiting and holding back until I could get this. There's always something more you can spend your money on. Giving's always going to be a sacrifice. But we're asking you to actually make an intentional, regular sacrifice. We do it all the time. Prayer is a sacrifice. We have time that we actually now take, and instead of using it for our leisure, instead of using it maybe for our self-improvement or education, instead of using it socially, we're kneeling down and saying, God, please help me help these people. We're giving of our time. Terra Nova is a church that has a lot of people who volunteer. You give time here, you give time in the community as a sacrifice. You could have built your calendar totally differently where it was just all about you, but you're serving and giving that time. It's the same with finances. You're making a regular sacrifice. The third thing that we ask about giving is that it's done joyfully. The Bible says this, God loves a cheerful giver. If it's all about God, and we recognize it's all His, He made it all, He's the keeper of it all, we're just watching over a portion of it on a limited time basis, your tombstone will not have an ATM attached to it. It's not yours. You don't keep any of it. Give joyfully. It's His. You're just celebrating what He's done. The truth is, and I mean this with all my heart, if you can't give joyfully, if when it comes time to give, you think, I hate this. I hate that churches want money. Or, you know what? I can't give because I don't really trust that God is going to provide for me and I don't have enough money right. I really mean this. I don't want you to give. If your heart is not behind giving, I don't want you to give. You're just going to be bitter and resentful. I'd rather have it that you were at church, you were worshiping, you were hearing the word, and you didn't have to go bitter every time you had to take your wallet or your checkbook out. What I would want you to do, though, is honestly work on that in your life. Ask yourself, why am I bitter? Why is there no joy when I'm giving back to God to a place where I'm meeting Him and with people whom I serve with? Something happened in my life, and am I hurt by something that happened that changed the way I live? Is there some control thing in my life where I really feel like if I don't have the coins stacked up and the bills neatly folded in front of me that God's not going to take care of me? I'm really taking care of myself. What's the lie or the injury that has brought you to a place where you can't give a portion back to God of what He's provided with any joy in your heart? That'll help us continue to keep giving and maturing in how we're giving. There's also a growth not just in numbers, not just in generations, not just in finances, but in depth. The men's retreat has been something that was seeded by Pastor Scott and a few others who really helped him with that, but primarily him, before Terra was ever launched. It was a chance to get some of the guys who were going to be a part of Terra out of their normal artificial environment and standing in nature, going up to the Adirondacks, and just being guys in God's creation with each other. There wasn't an agenda. It was actually partly a reaction against going to men's retreat where everything was scheduled. Like you had the inspirational talk until 10:15. You know, revival prayer until 11. Volleyball until noon. Like every single thing was scheduled. This was truly reacting against that, just being together with God in nature. And we've done it year after year after year, and it's matured, that word again, to a point where this year man, it was the most intense and incredible year of God showing up with guys at Terra Nova. For those guys who were there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The worship just drew guys in. Men who I see on a Sunday morning, standing, maybe hands in the pockets, were worshiping joyfully and with abandon, like nobody but God was watching them. I saw guys having incredibly deep, transparent conversations about their lives. Why I'm struggling with this about my family, where I think I should be but I'm not, where I don't. I witnessed these conversations all over the place. I saw guys who don't know each other, who've passed each other for years at Terra Nova, start to connect and follow up afterwards. It's been great. The women are better at being social than the guys. They have the retreat, and that's going on every year. And I always hear good reports about it. I see when the women come back, there's a bonding that's happened. They pass each other with smiles and nods more than they did before. But they also have a lot more going on than the guys. You know, guys are much more of the hermit than the women, right? You never hear the expression, the woman cave. It's only always the man cave. The ladies' room, I think, is the closest equivalent to the man cave, and you don't stay there as long. So the women had all sorts of other things going on as well. There have been book studies. Some of those have been theological, and they've just like dug deeply together. Some have actually been books of fiction where they discuss redemptive themes intentionally from these books. They had a prayer group that got together that was just studying prayer and then practicing prayer. There are so many good things this year that have built a mature community with depth out of the men and women. And if you haven't been involved in that, you're missing. And I would encourage you to make that a place where you're growing this year. If we're going to grow as a community based on how we're growing individually together, that's a challenge for each one of you. Why aren't you engaged in some of these ministries that are helping bring a deeper and more vital life together? Some of that depth has been through teaching. We were in Romans this year, and we're going to be going back there next week. And for some people, the response I got from Romans was, I don't know if I really want to go to Romans. That's one of those theological books. There's going to be a lot of stuff that Christians argue over. I just want to keep it real simple. Jesus died for me. I just want to leave it at that. And I had literally some of those same people come to me and say, I get it. It's made those things that were in the core simple beliefs so much more fuller than I ever understood. I get it. I want to keep going deeper on this. That's great. The marriage series, we had a time where we spent 4 weeks on that. And I can tell you on behalf of all the pastors, we have had more counseling, and happily so, on marriage because of that marriage series. Couples regularly were contacting us and saying, this is off. What you blueprinted out there, that's not us. We see it. We see what's going on. The more amazing thing to me, and this is wonderful, was young couples who were seeing preemptively, this might be off with us, and we don't want to end up where this could go, and actually asking for counsel ahead of time. It was just great to see people who were recognizing, if things aren't where they need to be biblically, I can actually trust this community. I can trust the leadership here. I can trust mature Christians here to find a place where I can get help. Had single people who were coming and saying, can we talk about what it looks like to prepare for marriage? How do I filter dating? How does that become part of my life? What do I look for in a person? What's off with me that I need to be working on? It's been incredible. By the way, the next series after Romans is going to be on frequently asked questions. And this is where you can be directly involved. The whole idea of this is there are a lot of people out there who have serious questions about the Bible, Christianity, how these things are lived out, and they have no one to ask. If they go to church, they don't really get a say in how these things are asked. They ask certain people, and all they get is sort of a program of, this is how I want to change your life. God has a plan for you, and I'm going to tell you what it is in 4 easy steps. And they don't get to have an honest broker of these questions. We're going to ask people here, people outside of here, what are your questions? There'll be a mechanism where we'll be able to feed those back in. Feel free to have those conversations with friends that you live near at work or other students where you're saying, honestly, what would you ask? If there wasn't going to be an agenda shoved at you, if you just got to ask and have the question answered. And I'm really hoping that this will be a place where God brings more depth because we're including more people in the dialogue where they need to hear it. We've also grown in prayer. That was one of the three words I threw out there as well. This church was, it was foundational. When we began, I can remember the people gathering up front in that corner upstairs and praying before the service every single Sunday. It was never a ton of people, 3, 4, 5, 6 people at different times, but it was consistent every Sunday that first year, people praying and praying and praying until it got to be like one person consistently, and they decided, I can just pray while I'm driving up here. And we let that go. It's not that we weren't praying. I know the small groups pray. I know the elders meet regularly for prayer. I know people are praying individually, but there's something to the humility of saying, before we do this thing that we might feel good about or people think is really good, we're going to be on our knees saying, we need help with this. We're actually making two really strong statements when we pray. We're making the statement that God is a communicative being. He's not just this big air traffic controller. That we have a relationship with him and he wants to hear from us. And we're also making a very strong statement saying, we need. It's not only that we can talk to you, we absolutely have to. What we're doing is beyond us. And we're going to get down on our knees and say, help. The scriptures say that God gives grace to the humble but resists the proud. And I'm glad that we're doing this again. In the gallery before the service, people are gathering. It's only a handful right now. My guess is it's probably going to grow more and more. And we have people who are saying, we want to be with you, and we ask God that you would help in this service. They pray for everyone who's involved. They pray for all the people who are here, and they go on for about 15 minutes praying. Man, I'd encourage you to be a person of prayer, whether it's through that vehicle or not. Be the person who gets that God wants to communicate with you. He's not just a distant being who's organizing some things. And be the kind of person who recognizes, I need God's help. And it's okay to ask. He's not going to shut the door. It says he'll never upbraid. He'll never put off, make fun of anyone who asks for wisdom and help. That's part of the growth and maturity as well, that we become more and more a church or people of prayer. One of the things I'd encourage you to be praying about is the youth at Terra. Through that growth, both of time and numbers, we now are going to have an opportunity to have a youth group that's consistent. We had points at other times where we'd have, you know, 6 to 10 junior high, senior hires, but they really weren't connected. Terra had just started, and they had their own lives. They had their own friends. They had their own activities. Now we're at a point where kids who've grown up together in the church at this place are now going into junior and senior high together. And be praying for Sean and Hannah Nolan, who are going to be leading that ministry. Be praying for those people, because so many churches never make the leap from one generation to the next. Only about 5% of churches exist over 100 years. And the number's getting smaller. Those churches tend to be older ones. What does that tell us? That somewhere in that link of generations, there was a disconnect. And maybe one generation forgot to care about another generation. Maybe one generation held what they wanted, their position of power or their preferences, a little too long, and the other generation said, this doesn't even feel like it's mine anymore, so I'm leaving. And we don't want that. We want to be engaged in the lives of our teens at this church. And it may mean that you're praying for them, may mean you're involved in that ministry, but be encouraged. And at some point, be the kind of person who's the good big brother or big sister who looks at someone further down the line, younger than you are, and listens, builds into, and is also willing to hand some things off now and again. Man, I want that transition to happen. I want Terra Nova to be a legacy church. I don't want it to be just something we did great for our times that felt like us for a period of time in the early 20th century. I want it to have a generational endurance that lasts because the people of God were seeking to build one another up in love. As we become people who know each other better, who are now trusting each other better and serving each other, we changed, and I think this year marks a unique change in that. We moved from being a church to a community. Churches love throwing out the word community. Some will put it on the signboard. It's real popular right now to recognize community is what America needs. We're a society that doesn't have what sociologists would call a third place. We have work, we go home, and then we don't hang out with anybody. We go to Starbucks, which looks like a fake living room, and sit around with strangers that we don't really know in our fake living room, pretending that we have a third place, but we don't. And this church is starting to get to be a third place. There's starting to be real community. We're starting to know each other enough where we're trusting each other to say, you know what, here's what's broken in my life. or here's where I actually have needs that are beyond what I can control. I wouldn't have told anyone because I don't even know how you would have reacted, whether good, bad, or even helping. And we see these things happening now. This year, we actually had people in financial need or crisis situations regularly. Happened more than any other year. And I don't think it was that it was a harder year. I really don't. I think it was actually that we know each other enough and trust each other enough and are confident enough in serving one another that people said, here's what happened. I need help. It's a good thing, that fabric of community weaving together, but it means we're going to have to be really intentional because it's going to happen more and more. So we're going to talk about this more as the year goes on. We're starting an intentional benevolence fund where we're taking a portion of our funds and saying, our people, us, we're going to have needs. And rather than have these spontaneous, sporadic moments of saying, we now need this much money because this tragedy happened in this home or with this family, we're going to actually keep that money there, prepared for one another. So when the time of suffering hits you or someone else that we love and care about, we're going to be prepared to be able to serve and care them. That's mature community. We're starting to address intentionally what goes on. Because there's so much life outside of this place on a Sunday. Actually, I think some of the most important stuff happens outside of what happens here on Sunday. We gather throughout the area in small groups. We call them tribes. And there's actually a more consistent representation of people showing up there than here. You miss a Sunday, but those, they happen twice a month. People put them in high esteem, and it's good. This is important, don't get me wrong. This is kind of like the spark plug that starts all the motions moving, but the spark plug isn't doing a whole lot after that. It's the rock that drops in the water and causes the ripple, but the rock's done. I mean, this is the place where we reveal what the scripture's saying about God, and we talk about it in the rest of the week with people, and we get together and pray about those things. But those groups, those tribes, I genuinely can't express how important they are to life and growth and maturity at Terra Nova. They're where most of the prayer takes place. They're where people know you. They're where most of the community takes place. You don't know too much about the person in the church sitting in front of you for the next 40 minutes, except, you know, do they need to shave their neck? This is like how deep you will have relationship if this is just all you have. But there it starts to become a reliance and a trust in knowing each other. And I can't tell you how important the tribe leaders are. If you're part of one of those groups, just insist that you take some time the next time you guys meet to pray for the people who are leading that group. Because without those people there, and they're all maxed out right now, man, we wouldn't be able to have the kind of community cared for and growing that we have. When I look at all that God has done and all that you guys have stepped up to do and all that's going on in maturity and growth, I'm like proud of you guys. And I don't mean that in a seven deadly sins, gluttony, sloth, envy, lust, pride sort of way. I mean it in a really positive sense. I was sharing this with a group of pastors, and I was trying to explain, like, pride is such an anti-word, right? It's a sin word. I don't mean that. And this older pastor, the other guy's just, like, listening, puts his hand gently on my shoulder and smiles. He goes, the word you're hunting for is grateful. And I thought through, I mean this. That's exactly right. I'm really grateful to be a part of this church. I'm really grateful for what God has done in our lives in this last year. I'm really, truly grateful. We got time ahead of us, too. And I want to talk now about not what's happened and what God has hemmed behind us, and we should be thankful for that, but what's before us. And if I threw out three words for that, it would be vision, opportunity, and growth. Vision is that thing that isn't there yet, but it's almost like we can see it, touch it. Its lines are almost visible. It's not the mission statements. It's not the purpose and the strategies. It's not that. It's the stuff that almost has life when you talk about it. Seems almost like it's real. The best illustration I can come up with for us in an American context is Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech. We just celebrated Martin Luther King Day recently. And when you hear that speech, you understand vision. They had their goal, the mission statement, was to actually integrate America where all Americans had the same rights. They had their strategy of nonviolence and demonstration, but that was the vision piece. That's the piece that people still refer to today, and the wonder of that speech was the vision. Because he gave us the image. I can see the children of former slaves and former slave owners playing together. We saw something. That's the vision side of what happens. Man, I see such opportunity and growth for Terra. But vision doesn't always come with a timeline. There's a certain falling in love with the vision that keeps you going, even if you don't see it as quickly and microwavable ready as you thought it might be. When we started Terra, it was out of a heart and a vision. We knew there was a need. There were people like us who felt like church just wasn't what it could be. It didn't maybe feel culturally like us. It wasn't expressed in a way that we felt really spoke to our hearts. It wasn't done as seriously as whatever it was. We felt like we really wanted that. And we took some steps onto places we'd never been before. Terra Nova literally means fresh ground. It's not a coffee thing. It's an experiential reference. And one of the things we also believed about Terra from the very beginning, a piece of the vision, was we wanted to see communities like this in the north part of the Capital District, Saratoga County, and in the east part where we are here in Rensselaer County, in the west side in Schenectady County, and in Albany County. We knew and never anticipated us, the vision was never, we're going to be such a huge McMega church that everyone's going to come by the thousands to have this massive facility that kept adding things. We didn't want that. We don't even own this building. We rent because we just felt like this is a better stewardship opportunity. It becomes part of the community. And we saw that happening all over. We've always had opportunities to be part of church multiplication. Look, at the end of the day, the church has to be about one primary thing, making more and better disciples. I don't care how you do it. I don't care what your methods and strategies are, how clever it is or how simple it is, how big the numbers are, how small the numbers are, if it's rural, suburban, urban, making more and better disciples of Jesus Christ is what the church is supposed to do and if acting rightly has done for 2,000 years. So we've supported the growth of other churches. Terra Nova is part of the Acts 29 network. I don't know if you're familiar with Acts 29. For those who are trying to turn there in your Bible, I will save you the awkward moment where you realize there is no Acts chapter 29. It ends at 28. Acts 29 is a church multiplication movement that is about saying what God was doing in the book of Acts to start communities in these places that had never heard the gospel will continue. And there's a way in which he's still writing that history. We've been blessed to serve as sort of an operational center. We're the hub for that movement in the Northeast, which largely means we're simply aiding really gifted, called people who are doing amazing things, that we're getting to support guys that God is calling together to build communities like this. Over 7 years, we watched it move from like one church to up in the 30s now. Some of you know some of the church planters. We've had Kevin Maloney of Grace Road in Rochester speak here, and we've financially supported him. They're now up over 350 people in Rochester doing amazing. Mark Pallon, who's up in Quebec, they had a Sunday this year where they baptized north of 30 people, a place that's 0.5% evangelical Christian. And we're going to be supporting someone else, Derek Lewandowski, out in the greater Rochester area coming up. All the pastors here are involved in different ways of serving and supporting. I've coached a bunch of church planters. Part of my regular schedule is multiple times a month I'm calling guys to talk about church planting with them. Each one of the pastors has some forum, executive pastors roundtable, a worship arts pastors collective, a leadership group of lead pastors in the area that we're a part of. We really believe that part of the opportunity that we have is to build in other churches, which is why I want to say to you, don't speak badly of any other churches. It's not a competition of us comparing because we prefer this and they don't do this. It's not for us to say, I don't like the strategy, I don't like the style, any of it. I don't want us to be that guy. I don't want us to be the people who are just bellyaching about someone else and what they're doing. Matter of fact, if you get a chance to encourage someone and they don't want to go to Terra, the conversation isn't over. Let them know about a different church that maybe is a better fit for them. For us, that also means not just helping other churches, but getting those other places where Terra community will exist started. We believe from the beginning we'd see those churches start in the four corners of the Capital District, and we talked a couple years ago about Saratoga launching. And then for reasons beyond our control, it just wasn't happening. Vision doesn't come with a timeline. We knew it was there, but there wasn't the finances, there wasn't the people, and the person was critical to that. Daniel and Leah Williams have been part of Terra Nova for years and years. He graduated from seminary in the area, and after looking at ministry opportunities, he realized being the lead site pastor there is something that he felt called to do. So vision-wise, here's what that would look like on a Sunday evening up in Saratoga. People would be setting up hours before people got to where they were, so the people who were there wouldn't have to worry, which happens here, by the way. You come in, you don't think twice because a dozen or so people are making sure you don't have to think twice. We wouldn't own a place. Maybe it'd be an old church in downtown Saratoga that we're using at night. Maybe it's a theater room on a campus on the north side of Saratoga Springs. And we're gathering those people together, 40, 50, 60, 70, as they grow. Daniel's running the show and playing the role largely like Phil does here. He's making sure all the leaders are careful. He's doing a lot of counseling. He's connecting with people in the area. He's preaching 10 to 15 times a year. We're still the same body of people. The same elders are overseeing this community. I'm preaching the remaining times, 30, 35 times a year there. The worship band will be a band that you know, whether they rotate or as an individual band. These things are yet to be determined, but you can start to see a Terra Nova in Saratoga Springs in the evening. It'll be a lot like here. It'll be different, too. There'll be the pieces that are unique to Saratoga. Be praying about that. The reach also gets even farther beyond. And this is the last kind of hope vision piece that I'll share. This past year, because of the connection to community, a problem that was going on the other side of the world arose that I couldn't shake. A couple here who's tied to India posted that their pastor had been arrested. He was trying to stand up for another Christian who was being persecuted, and they arrested and beat the guy. Now, I read the stuff in the news. I look at websites on persecution, the voice of the martyrs. I see it, and sometimes I pass by it. For whatever reason, I could not shake this. It just, it haunted me. And I went to the couple eventually and said, what can I do? I have to do something. This won't leave me alone. And Diane and I and our daughters went over, and I was able to serve these pastors. Every single one I met had been persecuted. They have a love for the Lord. They're serving people in their community so well. There's a system of Hindu prostitution in the temples. And they're serving the women who are put into this many times from the time they're young girls, 7 to 10 years old. The kids that they have, and they will, because they're in that industry where they're having sex regularly, unprotected. Their kids are a pariah in society. And these Christians who are small in number, who are constantly harassed, are taking care of these women when they can. They're scraping together from their meager funds sacrificially to put their kids through school so they can get them to another level of existence besides temple prostitution. These pastors are sometimes just barely hanging on, sometimes in jail. The one I met regularly, like monthly, would find a week of his month he was going to be imprisoned. It was life-changing, to say the least, to be there. But I feel, again, this was just a stone causing some ripple. The vision is that Terra Nova gets involved in this part of India, this persecuted, needy area. The needs of the world are so great that if we try to focus on everything, it's a BB bouncing off a freight train. But if we stay narrow and deep and focus on a couple things, we can make a difference. 2013, this summer, we're going to be talking about planning a trip over to serve those women, to serve those pastors, to serve families who are there. And I want to see us begin to develop a lasting relationship with the church and all that it's doing in that part of India. There are so many new things ahead. One of the things that I said to the elders when we gathered at our house for an elders' dinner this winter, we're talking a lot about Romans this year. And in Romans 1, there's that list of sins. And we can recognize, okay, do that one, I don't do this one. But before all of them, they're the two sources from which they all stem. It says, though they knew God, they didn't honor him or give thanks. Man, that makes it so much clearer where we need to be. If any of these hopes for our individual lives, for us together, will work out, we need to be honoring him. Where he says this is the way it is and our life doesn't line up, we need to be concerned about getting help to make sure that that fits. Where our life seemed difficult and we're not giving thanks and actually saying, I don't even know if you're involved, we need to become people of praise. Nothing marks a mature believer more than giving thanks, not just for the good things that God gives out, like you're happy, like he's a divine vending machine, but you're thankful that he's with you in the difficult times, shaping you through suffering. It will change us. It will change the opportunities. And as we were talking about and praying about what was going on, I had a strong sense of there are going to be things that will happen at Terra Nova, that will be opportunities, that will be growth opportunities, that will be change opportunities, but it won't be about us. It may look like success, but we can't get tripped up on thinking it's pride. It may look exciting, but it can't just be that it's thrilling us. It has to be about God, or it's all going to fall apart and fail. So I can't tell you the specifics, but I know there are things changing. Multiple people have said to me almost the same thing. I feel like God has us on the edge of something. I believe that. We're moving forward in so many ways. So this year, I want to encourage you in the future. Live with God over your past year. Take all the pieces, the things you've been bitter about, the things that gave you regret, the things that were challenging. It's time to put the regret and shame away. Just leave it in the hands of the Lord. Even injury. Maybe it's something that happened years ago. It may take time. He'll heal that. There's no other place to put it. with the future. It's time to do away with the pretense of control that we live with and the fearful anxiety when we realize we're out of control. One of my favorite theologians, Clash frontman Joe Strummer, said, "The future is unwritten." What I've come to realize is that's true, but the instrument of writing it will be you, will be me, will be this community in God's hands. This is the moment that the king calls for men and women to stand and honor him and give thanks, to recognize and live like he does have my past hemmed in behind me. He does have my future hemmed in, and his hand is on my head. The band's going to come forward, and we're going to have a time of communion. It'll be a chance to continue prayer and worship, but also to be able to recognize he has me hemmed in from behind. Before the foundation of the earth, the Father's good plan was to send his Son, who would live the way we were meant to live, a sinless life in communion with him, loving God and loving his neighbor. And he would sacrifice that life for us. A God who knew the end from the beginning was not unaware he was dying for you on that cross. And that as we take this together, as men and women in this room stand up and are called to the rallying point of Jesus, his incarnation, his death, and his resurrection, we realize his hand's upon us now. We're following after him. And we're told to celebrate this until he returns. He rose and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And some days we see it and feel it. Some days we live like he's Lord. But there'll be that time when that veil will be taken away. And everyone will see he always was who he claimed to be. He always was the king and in charge. And we'll live differently then. But the call is to live your future now with the king who's presiding over you. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we confess we are people who have not always been thankful for our pasts. We're people who haven't always been aware of how involved you were in the times where we only saw your absence and our need and want. God, we ask that you would help us to genuinely repent of that and to feel the secure, sovereign love of you hemming us in behind, none of it a mistake, building us exactly where we need to be now. You've used things that, Lord, haven't been good, but you've used them for good. God, we pray that you would help us no longer be a people just controlled by the fear of what might happen, what he or she might do, what this company might do, what this place might do. But Lord, that we'd be people who confidently face the future, knowing that you've hemmed us in before us. You're aware of the end from the beginning. You have it. Though we're going to be surprised, even exhilarated by the next new things, you're not. You're walking with us, guiding us. We're followers into a future that you know. And Lord, let us never lose in between that moment the intimate touch of your hand upon us, Father. We ask these things in your name, and in the name of the Son who came to die for us, and the name of the Spirit who guides and indwells us today. Amen.